Okay, we're going to be talking about the relational Spirit of God. I think, you know, we always talk about, you know, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. You know, you hear that a lot. It's true, but I think sometimes we just utter that out, but we don't know what that really means. I believe that many of you have personal relationships with Jesus, but what does that look like on a daily basis? How is that supposed to look like for the believer? Because most of the people would say, well, what do we do as a believer? And go, well, you know, we read our Bible, we read the Word, we go to church, you know, hang out with other Christians and that kind of stuff. But what does it really mean to walk in a relationship with God Himself? You know, I've had people come to me and say things like, well, I don't hear God. And you know that's not true, because how many of you, when you begin to be tempted or engage in sin, it seems like there's this voice that's telling you not to do that? We usually don't like to pretend that we hear that voice. But then when we're like, oh, God, I need a word, and then all of a sudden, like, well, God's not speaking to me. But how many times that when we're engaging in all of these other things, his voice is loud? I know we were talking about this at men's group, and Keith brought it up this way. He's like, you know, we say we can't hear God, but then in these moments where we're tempted or something, it's like there's a shouting voice, not an angry voice, but it's so loud. But then we just are like, oh, well, that's just, you know, my conscience or different things like that. But God is always speaking to us. But many times we put the hand up and say, I don't want you to talk to me about my personal life. I just want you to talk to me when I need you to ministry or minister to other people or things like that. And we just kind of invite God in when we want him to come in, and then we exclude him when we're like, you know, I just want to do my thing over here and I don't really want to hear from you. And I think if we're honest about that, then this will open up into a greater relationship. So let's look at some scripture to show that I really believe that the church, in many ways, and we've talked about this before, and when I say the church, I mean the church as a whole, tends to get in a ditch on one side or the other. And when I say that, I mean, like, I've been in groups and different all kinds of different churches where it's all the Holy Spirit. It's never the Word. It's just, oh, it's the Spirit, and it's all feelings and goosebumps and tingles and all of that, and am I against that? No, but that's all that it is. And then people are like, well, I heard this from the Lord, and I heard that from the Lord. And I've actually talked to people and had to say, well, I don't think that was the Lord, because right here clearly in the Scripture it says the opposite. Well, that doesn't matter. I heard from the Lord. How many times have you dealt with friends or family members that you're trying to minister to them, but they have convinced themselves that they heard from the Lord, but it's really a lie from the devil? And then people get discouraged and say, well, then I just need to be in the Word. Here's where you get in the ditch on the other side. Well, I just need to be in the Word. I can't talk directly to God because I don't know if it's a demon or Satan or anything like that. So if I have the Word and the Word only, then I know that this is truth and that's all I need. And that's just as bad as getting in the ditch on the other side. How many of you know the Word and the Spirit are the same? There's different functions. It's the written Word. It's the Logos Word. But then there's also the Spirit. But how many of you know you can't have a relationship with the Bible? Okay, you can read the Bible. You can see Jesus' love language and his words to us, but you can't have a relationship with a book. You can only have a relationship, a personal relationship, with a person. And we're talking about the person of God. I'm not saying he's a human being, but I'm talking about the person of God. He has a personality. We're actually going to see that today in the Scriptures. So we need to understand that we have the written Word of God to keep us in check. Amen? I've used this analogy before. When you're going to drive a car, I mean, I know it's probably a bad analogy because not a lot of people read the car manual, but you have the manual there to check when things may seem a little bit off. You may not read your car manual before you start driving, but you're driving, and then you see a light come on, and you're like, ooh, that's not good. I wonder what that is. And then you go and look it up in the manual. Oh, it's this, so I need to correct this. And I really feel like many of the times that is that way with the Word. If we're not in balance, we're like, if you're Word only, then you're not being led by the Spirit, because all you're doing is studying the Word, the Word, the Word. If you are just only listening to the Spirit and not have the Word, there may be all kinds of different red flags and stuff going on, and you don't know, so you need to go to the Word. Does this make sense? We need the balance of both. And what I really believe that as we're getting closer to the end, that you're going to see the churches that sustain, that grow, and that are radically on fire are ones that have both. Because it's not really both, they're one and the same. All right, so let's go through some scriptures to show that we need to have a relationship with God, and we do that through God the Holy Spirit. The men, again, I know I want to encourage you, if you're like, well, I can't make the men's group, or I'm a woman, so I'm not allowed there. If you go on YouTube and type in The God I Never Knew, Robert Morris, there's 6 30-minute teachings, and I would encourage you to listen to that, because, again, we know that we're in a Holy Spirit church, and so we talk a lot about the Holy Spirit, but I have never done a series on just the person of the Holy Spirit. And I would just encourage you, kind of piggybacking off today's teaching, that if you want to know more about the person, the functionality, the role of the Holy Spirit, which is God on the inside of us, I encourage you to do that. So again, you can go on YouTube, The God I Never Knew, Robert Morris. There should be 6 30-minute teachings. But let's jump into the Word. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians Chapter 2, starting at verse 10. The Bible says this: the Spirit examines all things. And as you Greek scholars know, the word in Greek for all means what? All. That's right. The Spirit examines all things, even the depths of God. No one knows the things of a person except the person's spirit within them. That makes sense, right? In the same way, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world. We have received the Spirit who is from God. And look what Paul says here. This is so we can know the things freely given to us by God. I think many of us, and I tell you this all the time, I'm growing. Even as a pastor, I have not yet fully arrived. I am always in motion to have a deeper, wonderful relationship with God. And many times I think that whether it's the outside influence of the world, it's our own thoughts, or it's the devil, comes in and says, God doesn't want you to freely know all of these things. These things you're asking him, they're not for you to know. Or the things you're asking him are ridiculous. You know, you should be asking for deep spiritual things. This says we have received the Spirit who is from God so that we can know the things freely given to us by God. I like in this series that we're watching by Robert Morris, he talks about how there are two wills of God. There's the general will of God, and then there's a specific will of God. You can know the general will of God for your life in the written word. You can only know the specifics for your life from God, the Holy Spirit himself. And the example was given, you can know from the word, and of course he's speaking to guys, you can know from the word how you are to treat your spouse, amen? There's lots of verses on that. You know, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's the most common one quoted, but there's a whole list of things in there that how men are supposed to treat their wives. So you can know that from the word, but guess what, guys? If you're single, the word doesn't tell you who to marry. And some people, like, have not even thought that. Dude, I'm supposed to ask God who to marry? Yes. In fact, if probably more people ask God who they're supposed to marry, there would be less divorce in this country, amen? But see, that's what I'm saying. Like, people don't think about it. Well, no, that's not right. There's many people that are suitable. You just date around and find out your interests and likes and all of that kind of stuff. That is worldly logic. That is not a God concept. And don't you think that God knows who you should be married to more than you know who you should be married to? What if we just ask God every day simple little things? And I mean, yeah, you can get extreme in this, but, you know, maybe it'd be like, okay, I got to go to the grocery store. Lord, when should I go to the grocery store? Because maybe he's going to have a divine encounter with you and someone else that maybe, let's say you bump into them and you haven't seen them in 3 years, and you start sharing about your life and what the Lord is doing, and it's again, this divine encounter. But if we're not listening, if we're not talking to God on a regular basis, how are we going to know these things? Does this make sense? Like I said, many of us are just like, well, no, we just have to ask God the deep things, the spiritual things. That's all he's interested in. He is interested in having an ongoing relationship with you and to use you as you freely submit yourself to him to bring other people to him so that he can have a relationship with them. It's all about relationship. And again, I know that sounds, yeah, I've heard that many, many times, but the question is, are we living that out? Do we talk to God all the time? So it says, we can know the things freely given to us by God. Let's go on. Verse 13. These things we also speak. Well, what are the things he's talking about? The things that have been freely given to Paul and his companions from the Holy Spirit. So he says, we speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit combines spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. You ever sat with somebody before and you just know that at some point they switched gears and the Holy Spirit took over and you're like, man, they're telling me some deep stuff right now. Spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. However, look at this. This is really important to understand in the church. However, the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand these things because they have to be spiritually discerned. This does not say, however, the sinner does not accept these things. It does not say, however, the worldly person does not accept these things. It says what? The natural man. How many of you know that there are a lot of believers who believe in Jesus, who were covered by the blood of Jesus, have been washed, have been clean, are going to go to heaven someday, but they are natural. And again, that's not to attack other people. It's just, how many times have you been with Christians or people that call themselves Christians and you start talking about some spiritual stuff and they're just staring at you like a deer in the headlight? And it's not because like you're so deep, it's that they're so natural. I'm telling you, if anybody's had this experience, I got baptized when I was 8 years old. I got born again when I was 8 years old. I grew up in a pastor's family, so that just seemed logical to me. Like, I don't want to go to hell, I want to get born again. But until I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, I tried to study the Bible. I tried to look at things. I'm going to be honest. The Bible was the most boring book I'd ever read. And I didn't even like reading, period. But I'm like, well, I'm a good Christian. I'm supposed to do these things. My mom's like, go to the mall and sit in the food court and just get out your notebook and take notes. I'm like, that sounds so boring. But I'm telling you, when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, that book became alive. And those of you who have been filled with the Spirit know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't been filled with the Spirit, you need to get filled with the Spirit. It's not the same as water baptism. Now you can get water baptized and filled with the Spirit at the same time. But if you study the book of Acts, there were many times that they encountered people that had not been filled with the Spirit. There was one time where the Apostle Paul encounters people and he says, did you receive the Spirit when you believed? Talking about when you believed in Jesus, did you receive the Spirit? So apparently believing in Jesus and receiving the Spirit are two different things. Otherwise, why would Paul phrase it like that? Why didn't he go, oh, you must have received the Spirit because you believed in Jesus? And unfortunately, that's what many churches teach today. They teach you just get it all in one package. If you believe on the blood of Jesus to wash you white as snow and for heaven someday, then all of a sudden you've got his Spirit. You don't get his Spirit until you receive his Spirit. And it doesn't have to happen this way every time, but many times it happens through the laying on of hands or the speaking in tongues, or you know, you find out that these gifts have been unleashed in someone. You can be a Christian and be natural. I would like to be a Christian and be supernatural. And that should be natural for the Christian to be supernatural. We should be naturally supernatural. This should be the basic Christianity. where we can lay hands on the sick. We talked about this last week, that it's our mandate not just to preach the word, but to demonstrate the kingdom. And we can't do that without a relationship with God. Do you know how I know that? Because even Paul, when he was doing all those miracles, signs, and wonders, remember we talked about this, where other people were trying to do what Paul did, and they said, listen, we exorcise you by the Jesus that Paul preached. And the demon responded, hey, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? And that was in our teaching on you need to have a reputation in hell. But why weren't they able to do it? Because they didn't have a relationship with Jesus. They just knew about this Jesus that Paul preached about. And they're like, well, it seems like when this Paul guy talks about Jesus, then all of these supernatural things can happen. Let me see if I just talk about Jesus and supernatural things happen. I would throw this out here to pray about it in your own personal lives. If you're not seeing the results that you want to see, the supernatural results that you're seeing in your life, you might want to go back and speak with the Lord and go, are we good? And I'm not saying God's mad at you. I'm saying the fault lies with us, where we're not constantly in relationship. We're not constantly talking with them. I know one of the best times that I like to is in the car and nobody's with me. I sometimes, not all the time, I need to do it more often, but I will look at the passenger seat like Jesus is sitting right with me and just talk to him. So it says, the natural man cannot accept the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they have to be spiritually discerned. How many people in the body of Christ are turned off to healing, are turned off, the name it, claim it, prosperity, all of this stuff, and going, can we just sit down and have a conversation and look in the Word about some of this stuff? But what do they want? They want to simply believe in Jesus. They want to simply be washed in the blood. They want to simply go to heaven someday. And then they want to follow out rules so that they can maintain their salvation till heaven someday. People don't say that out loud, but I'm going to show you that a lot of the culture today does that. And how do I know that? Because people will say, well, how much do you read your Bible? How many times do you go to church? Are you engaged with other Christian friends? Should you be doing all of those things? Yes. But if it's a struggle to do those things, then I would say you have a poor relationship with God. Because I'm going to tell you, when I'm sitting around, I can't wait to get in the Word. When I wake up in the morning, and I know not everybody has this luxury, and I don't want you to think I'm a lazy pastor, but once my wife goes off to teach at school and my children go off, I put on some soaking music, I have my coffee, and I just hang out with God. Now, again, maybe not all of you can do that in the morning because you're getting kids ready and you're getting going off to work, but brothers and sisters, take some time to hang out with God. If that means that you have to have this awesome relationship, that you should have this awesome relationship with your spouse going, honey, I need to hang out with God for like 30 minutes. Can you watch the kids? I'm going to go into this room. I'm going to put on, again, whatever you do, maybe you don't like to listen to music. I love soaking music. I love that background ambiance music. And I just need to hang out with God. And then when I'm done, if you need to hang out with God, I'll watch the kids and you go hang out with God. You just need to hang out with God. And guess what? He's always hanging out with you because he lives in here. All right, let's go on. We're still in 1 Corinthians 2, so now verse 15. The one who is spiritual examines and investigates all things. That one can also be discerned or judge. However, the spiritual person is judged by no one. How many of you know we're not supposed to judge? How many of you know that Jesus said, by the measure with which you judge, you will be judged? Now, that does not mean that if a brother or sister is struggling in an area and they come to you and they say, I don't know, I'm really struggling. Can you help me and tell me where I'm going wrong? When they invite you in because you have a relationship, then you can do that. But just go around and going, that person's bad, this person's bad, this person's bad. I can't believe this person. If you are holding people to these kinds of standards, remember, it's going to be turned around and held on you. So it says, the spiritual person is judged by no one. For who has known the mind, and this is the word in the Greek, the mind, intellect, and reasoning of the Lord, that they may instruct him? But we, the spiritual person. Now remember, the natural man doesn't understand the Spirit. So this is only talking about someone who's filled with the Spirit. But we, those who are filled with the Spirit, have the mind, intellect, and reasoning of Christ. Why do we have that? Because I don't have this verse up here, but 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. We're one with him. So that's how we can have the mind and the intellect and the reasoning of Christ. And I know sometimes reasoning throws people off on this. The Lord showed me something so cool this week, and you know, I'll share it, but and maybe it's not for everybody, but you know I'm a big word guy, right? One of the biggest examples I always give is that truth, most commonly understood in Greek of the times that it was in, was translated the word reality. We've talked about that many times. Truth means reality. When we talk about the reasoning of Christ or the reasoning of God, when you look up the word logos or logos, which we always interpret as the written word of God, which it is that also, it actually is translated the reasoning of God. So could you imagine going back and reading John chapter 1? In the beginning was the reasoning of God. The reasoning of God was with God, and the reasoning of God was God. And then further down, the reasoning of God became flesh. And so what did he do? Jesus explained the reasoning and the logic of God. And we think reason and logic is a world thing. How many of you know the world steals everything from God? Well, what is God's reasoning and logic? Reasoning and logic from God is when someone hits you on the left side of your cheek, turn to him the other. Is that the reasoning of the world? No. But we would say logically, if somebody hits you, you hit them back. That would be the reasoning of the world. But the reasoning of God is turn to them the other cheek. The reasoning of the world is love people who love you and hate people who hate you. That's not the reasoning and logic of God. But see, we think it's like, well, it's so contrary to the world. Well, of course, because in the beginning, the reason and logic of God is the standard for human beings. But it got twisted at the fall. Like I said, so I don't know if that helps you. Anytime where you see the word in the Bible, it's talking about the reason and logic of God. So we have the mind, the intellect, and the reasoning of Christ. We have the ability to do that. Now, sometimes, don't assume that it comes automatically, because if it comes automatically, I don't need relationship with God. Right? If I can just go, well, I just know everything, Lord, because you know everything, so I know everything, so awesome. I never have to talk to him. But if I know that I have the intellect and the reasoning and the mind of Christ, and Christ lives in me through the Holy Spirit, then if I'm ever struggling with something, then I just talk to the Holy Spirit about it. If I'm reading the Word, Holy Spirit, I don't understand this. Can you help me? And he's like, sure I can. I wrote it. All right, let's go on. Okay, here's another passage about how the Holy Spirit teaches us all things. The anointing. Now that word anointing there means the Holy Spirit. John says this. 1 John 2:27, the anointing or the Holy Spirit which you have received from him, God, abides in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you. I always say most pastors won't teach this verse because then maybe nobody will show up next week because they don't need to hear from me because I don't need to teach you. But I would tell you that my job is not to teach you. My job is to show you who the Holy Spirit is so that he can teach you. Pastors should not be pointing to themselves to teach you high and lofty things. We should be pointing to the Holy Spirit to teach us all things. And it's at our fingertips. It's at our disposal. And I actually just want to go back and correct myself. He is at our disposal. I remember Robert Morris the first week. Holy Spirit is not an it. You cannot have a relationship with an it. And he wants to. We just saw it in the other verse. The Spirit searches God. Searches not just God, not just the surfacey things. It says the depths of God. We can know things that the average person cannot know about God. And all we have to do is talk to him. How do you think prophecy happens? God knows the future. You say, hey, God, what about this? And if he chooses to reveal it to you, then you know. And then, unfortunately, what a lot of prophets do is first as they get the answer, then they go blab it all over Facebook. And they didn't think to ask God the follow-up question. Is that for me or is that for everyone? Because a lot of people that are self-identifying as prophets are out saying all kinds of stuff, and God's like, that wasn't for everybody, that was just for you personally. So the anointing that is in you, that you've received from God the Father, you do not need anyone to teach you. But just as the same anointing, the Holy Spirit, teaches you concerning what? All things, which is true and not a lie, you shall abide in him. How do you abide in him? Relationship. Now, he will abide with you no matter what. But he doesn't talk about him abiding with us as much as he talks about us abiding in him. How many of you know John chapter 15? That's all about we need to abide in the vine, because the vine is the one that produces. If we choose to not abide, then we sever ourselves off from Christ. We can do nothing. We need to abide. We need to abide in him. Okay, next verse. All right, Galatians 3. Again, this is the Greek, so I've also used some modern language because it says, you foolish. I don't really feel like we use that word a lot. So this word can also be translated brainless. So Paul, this doesn't seem very nice of Paul, but he does at least explain to them why they're brainless. He says, you brainless Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? Some of your Bibles say bewitched you. Who has cast an evil spell on you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? He says, this is the only thing I want to know. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, I know for us as Gentiles, and we've said this many times in here, even though there's some super fringy groups out there that think we should still keep the law and Jesus, when apparently people like that don't read the New Testament, since if you read many of Paul's letters, it's all about we're not under law, we're under grace. And you can't mix the two. I don't have the verse up here, but in Galatians chapter 5, I believe it's around verses 4, 5, or 6. You can look it up later. It says, ye who are seeking to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. So if you think that we have to be justified by the law or follow the law or keep the law, you've severed yourself from grace because you cannot have it both ways. And by the way, in the book of Hebrews says, if you're going to be under the law, you got to keep the whole thing. And if you offended one area of the law, you've broken it all. I don't want to take my chances with that. I just want to give myself to Jesus. Amen. So he is talking about how the Galatians started off in the Spirit. They received the Spirit. And he says, did you receive it by the works of the law or hearing of faith? Now we know the answer is by the hearing of faith. But he's chastising them, calling them brainless, because you're like, you were set free in Christ. You've received the Spirit. You probably flowed in some kind of gifts like prophecy or words of knowledge or that kind of stuff. And now you're trying to be justified by the flesh, by the law. Now, again, like I said, for non-Jewish people in here, that seems weird to us because we were never under the law to begin with. But I would make the argument that in the church today, many people are sacrificing a relationship with Jesus, a personal, everyday, ongoing relationship with Jesus through the Holy Spirit by rule keeping. Well, I did my devotion today. I went to church this week. And again, yes, do your devotions. Yes, go to church. But do it because you just love Jesus and you love being around Jesus people. I love men's group. That's a bunch of Jesus dudes just hanging out and talking about cool stuff that Jesus is doing in their own lives. And then we learn about the Holy Spirit, and it's awesome. All right, next verse. We're still in Galatians 3, verse 3. And Paul doubles down. Are you that brainless that you began in the spirit and now we're trying to be complete and perfect in the flesh? You had a lot of what they called Judaizers back then where it was like, yes, Jesus, but we also have to keep the law. And they would like compel people to be circumcised and keep certain feast days and different things like that. And, you know, if you want to, you know, go online and I remember we used to have, back when my dad was pastor, they'd invite this person who was a Christian in, but he understood all of the Jewish rituals and customs, and he would go through the Passover meal and show how you can see Jesus in all of it. That stuff's cool to study, but don't set Jesus aside to keep the Passover in place of Jesus himself. The Bible talks about that returning to the shadow instead of holding to the substance. So he says, have you suffered so many things pointlessly, if indeed it was pointless? Now the word says in vain, again, we don't really use that language today. But what he's saying is, because you began in the spirit and you were following Jesus and not trying to keep the law, you were persecuted for it. So he's saying, did you suffer all of these things pointlessly, if indeed it was pointless, because now they're trying to go back to the law? Look, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, that's the Holy Spirit in them, and miracles are happening, apparently at the church in Galatia, probably out on the streets as well. He who supplies the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And we even think that way. We think like, oh, well, you know, I sinned, therefore God couldn't possibly work for me. Or, oh, I missed church this week, so no wonder God's not hearing from me. He's not being silent. He's wanting to say to you, just come and talk to me. I remember, again, I'm making allusion to this, or I'm alluding to what we did in men's group. You know, a lot of people have questions about grieving the Holy Spirit. You've heard that phrase before, right? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And what the Lord showed me and actually shared with the guys that night, I said, as a father, I understand this statement more than anything. Because when we think grieve the Holy Spirit, some of us think that means God is mad at us. He's being silent. He's giving us the silent treatment because we sinned. And all of this weird kind of stuff. I can't hear from God because I'm just so much in sin. Listen, when my daughters, and I could talk totally about them because they're not here. They're in Kansas. When my daughters slip up, it grieves me. But how many of you know when your kids mess up, you're not, well, there's times you can be angry, but most of the time, as a loving parent, you're not angry, you're sad. You're sad for them. You're sad that they made a decision or chose a path that was dangerous and they actually ended up getting, and I'm not talking about physically, I'm talking about maybe mentally, emotionally, they've gotten hurt because of it. God is not up there and being an angry God. He shows you things not because he's like, see, you messed up. Now I'm going to curse you. See, you messed up. Now I'm not going to talk to you anymore. He shows us the path just like parents show their kids the path because this is the path that will keep you safe. This is the path that will keep you prosperous. And we've talked about what the word prosperity means. It means to have a good journey in life. How many of us want our kids to have a good journey in life? We want them to be prosperous. We want them to be healthy. We want them to be able to find that special person one day and start a great family and all of that kind of stuff. And if anything deters them from the godly path, we're not angry with them. It grieves us. And if we could see our loving Father that way, then when we make a mistake or mess up, then we will still freely come to him. And we see this in relationship all the time. Married people, I know I'm going to get an amen on this. How many times when you have a fight, what's the first thing that happens? No more communication. The silent treatment. That is the worst thing that can happen when you've had a fight. I mean, take your time to cool off or whatever. But you need to sit down and work through the problem because then there's the silent treatment and then you're getting angry about that and then you're thinking about all the things that you should have said in that moment because the other person got the upper hand. All of this weird stuff that's going on instead of going, whoa. We're not mad at each other. We just, you know, had a disagreement. Let's sit down and talk it through. So because many of us have those, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, poor communication issues in our own relationships, that's why we project that onto God. Because we think God is like us, when really we should be like him. And God is not up in heaven going, nope, you've sinned too many times today, I'm not talking to you. Nope, you really made me mad, you really grieved me, I just need to be alone. That's not God. And like I said, when my children do something and it grieves me, you can ask my wife. The first thing I want is, you know, after I'm like, you shouldn't have done that, go to your room. Within 5 minutes, I am in there talking through the situation. Because I'm grieved and I want to make sure that we're on the same understanding so that hopefully it won't happen again. So it's about relationship. Let's go on. Listen. He's talking to the Galatians. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those, everybody say only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. If you are not of faith, if you are under rule keeping, if you are under I must do this in order to get into God's favor, law, works, all of that kind of stuff, you are not a son or daughter of Abraham. And how many of you know that Abraham lived long before the law of Moses came? There wasn't even the law yet. They lived by faith. And the Bible says the righteous or the just will live by faith. Next verse. All right, we're going to fly through this quickly because I'm already long. Okay, conduct your life. And again, this is in the Greek, so if you're like, this doesn't say this in my translation. Conduct your life in spiritual relationship where God speaks and you obey. Now, again, when we hear obey or obedience, it seems like such a bad word because it seems, you know, people are like, oh, yep, that's God. He's just this tyrant and I just have to be obedient or he's really mad. Again, how many of you know he tells you to do certain things because it's for your benefit? I don't know any parent that tells their kids to do something because it's for their benefit. And if they're not, then I would question if they're really good parents. God tells you things for your benefit. God tells you things because it will prosper you. God tells you things because it will benefit you. God tells you things because it will heal you. God tells you things because it will break addictions off your life. God tells you things and so on and so forth. He's not up there going, I've got a bunch of rules. Let's see how many of them can follow them. If you start to see God as your loving father who just wants to hang out with you, who just wants to have a relationship with you, and I know that's hard because, believe me, I know some of you maybe grew up with an absentee father or a bad father. But don't let that be an excuse in your life to go, I can never really understand God. Read his word. Read who Jesus is because that's your loving father. So it says, conduct your life in spiritual relationship where God speaks and you obey. Then you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, which the Bible describes the lust of the flesh as what you want to do. And when I say you, I mean Josh. I mean Dave. I mean, Chuck, what I want to do. And it's important to know that what you want to do doesn't really matter because when you came to Christ, the Bible says that we were crucified with Christ. Therefore, it is no longer that I live, but he who lives in me. So, you know, when people are like, well, I came to the Lord, but I still want to do this and I still have all of these rights, my rights, my rights. You have no rights in Christ. And I know that's really hard as an American. Because it's all about our rights. Now, you do have rights as an American, but as a Christian, you have none. The only rights that you have is what Jesus has given you. So it says, if you are having a relationship with God, he's speaking to you. He's telling you what to do on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis. You're listening to him and you're like, okay, God, awesome. And you do that, then you don't have to worry about here fulfilling the lust of the flesh because all you're doing is hanging out with God and listening to him and doing what he's saying. And that's the spirit. Look at this. It says the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to each other. You cannot train your flesh. All you can do is die to it. It says, this is intentional, so you do not do what you want to do. This is Paul. You don't get to do what you want to do. Well, I feel like I'm entitled to this. You are entitled to nothing. And the more that we understand this, it's not about like, well, then I just don't get to do anything. My life's going to be so boring. When you open up your spirit to the Lord's spirit, become one with his spirit, a whole new world opens up. And then when you walk with him long enough, you actually find that the things of the flesh you don't even want to do anymore. It's not overnight, but also don't think it's going to take years, as Chad shared with us. What he thought that was going to take weeks happened in 3 days. Thanks for sharing that, Chad. Don't you love it when God proves us wrong? It keeps us humble. So it says, this is intentional, so you don't do what you want to do. If you conduct your life in spiritual relationship where God speaks and you obey, then you are not under the law. I see this stuff on Facebook all the time, you know, when, and I'm just going to say it, and if you're offended, grow up. I'm so tired of this debate on, is it Easter or is it Resurrection Sunday? It's Jesus. What's the difference whether what we call it? Well, Easter is this pagan holiday and da-da-da-da-da-da. You know what? If you study history, you actually find out that they were moving these Christian holiday or these Christian things like Resurrection Sunday and different things like that and would put it during the time of Easter and would put it during the time of Christmas because Christianity was legalized and they wanted to bring Christian influence in and they said these pagan holidays are high holy days and they said, well, let's put Christianity there so that they're not high holy days anymore. But most of you don't know that because you haven't done your history. So let's stop with the whole, it's not Easter, it's Resurrection Sunday. Call it whatever you want. It doesn't matter. Jesus is King. He rose from the grave. Your sins are forgiven. Stop bickering over what we call it. I'm tired of my wife's laughing because we saw it on Facebook. Well, we were never supposed to keep communion. We're supposed to keep the Passover. We have nowhere where we're supposed to keep communion. That's a Catholic thing. Jesus broke bread, handed it, and said, this is my body. And then he took the cup and he said, this is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. They must not have that part in their Bible. I'm just so tired of this. And the whole time we're bickering over this nonsense, people are going to hell in droves. Stop bickering over nonsense. And I told Christy this the other day, and I know that this is a lame excuse, but there has some truth that rings to it. If it wasn't because I see who Jesus is and what he did for me, and I only based it on a lot of Christians that I meet, I would never be a Christian. Because Christians want to bicker about all of this nonsense. And I'm like, you wonder why more people aren't coming to us because we have to bicker over days. Do we celebrate this day? Do we hold up another day? You know that the Bible clearly says that if one person wants to lift up day and above another and another person wants to count every day the same, stop judging. If you celebrate birthdays in your house, praise the Lord. If somebody else doesn't want to do that, praise the Lord. Everybody's going to be held to their own conviction. If we say the word Easter next week, we're not worshiping bunnies and eggs. We're talking about Jesus. I got to move on. I get fired up about this stuff because this is the nonsense why people are not coming to church in droves. Because Christians bicker more than any kind of atheistic, Islamic, or any other kind of group. It's the same thing you see in politics. You got one side that always toes the line and votes the same, everything, and they stay together as one, and you got the other side that there's so much infighting, we can't even decide on anything. And I'm not going to name the parties, but you know who I'm talking about. It's foolishness. We're supposed to be one. Let's stop bickering over words. Let's stop bickering all over this nonsense, and let's get people saved, discipled, whole, set free, and healed. Oh my goodness. Is there another slide? Okay, I'll go quickly. The actions, will, and mind of the Spirit are. Now, I've never thought about this before, and this is just your pastor maybe being a little bit brainless, and God had to help me with this, is when I read the fruit of the Spirit, I've always read that as this is what Josh needs to do to prove that he's in relationship with the Spirit. Because, you know, we say that we will know people by their fruit. But you know, this doesn't say the fruit of the person who has relationship with the Spirit. It says it's the fruit of the Spirit. So another way you could say this is that it's the actions, will, and mind of the Spirit are these things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is the actions, will, and mind of the Spirit. And so now, how many of you know, if you hang out with a person whose actions, will, and mind are these things, if you hang out with them long enough on an utmost frequency, it rubs off on you. Just like the Bible says that if you hang out with the wrong types of people, that's going to rub off on you as well. So the more you hang out with God, the more love is just going to naturally flow. The more you hang out with God, you're going to be more joyful. The more you hang out with God, you're going to be kind. Because these are all His qualities that He's giving to you, and it's rubbing off on you, and then you are one with His Spirit, and then do this for other people. Does this make sense? Look, He says, there is no law against any of these. If you are in Christ, you have crucified the flesh with His passions and desires. If we are alive because of the Spirit, let us conduct this life in spiritual relationship where God speaks and we obey. If you're alive because of the Spirit, right? Because if you don't have the Spirit, you're dead. And I'm not talking about physical death. I'm talking about spiritual death. There's a lot of dead people walking around, and it's manifesting more and more all the time. So this says, if we are alive because of the Spirit, then let us conduct our life in spiritual relationship. The thing that makes me alive, which is not a thing, it's a He, I want to be in relationship with them. I want to go, I'm alive because of you. Tell me more about this life that I have in you. And just talk to God. Now again, some of you are like, well, does He in an audible voice talk back to me? No, He doesn't. But how many of you know that when you're one spirit with someone, you're communicating on a whole nother level? Like, we want the communication, but I love it when you read the experiences that of people that have the near-death experiences go to heaven. They said nobody's talking. It's just like they know each other's thoughts. And if you hang out with God long enough, you're going to know His thoughts, and He already knows yours. Let us conduct our life in spiritual relationship where God speaks and we obey. Don't boast, don't challenge one another, or become envious of one another. It's amazing because the scriptures before this is all about the works of the flesh, and then you have the actions, will, and mind of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, and then you have going back into don't challenge one another, don't boast, don't have factions, and all of that kind of stuff. And again, that's the stuff that I was talking about all the ridiculousness in the church. Well, we call it Resurrection Sunday. Well, we call it Easter. Let's divide over this. And we laugh, but it's true. I won't attend a church that calls it Easter. Well, that's pretty silly. Now, if you attend a church that calls it Easter, and they start talking about fertility, and have this giant idol bunny up here, okay, yeah, don't go there. But let's keep the main thing. We're talking about the resurrection of Christ. And we're going to talk about that next week. Do I have any more verses? Oh, good. I know, and I appreciate all of you who are visiting with us. Like, we had a lot to fit in. And like I said, and I wanted to give Cliff and Sue maximum time today because, like I said, what they're doing and the impact it's having is awesome. So I thank you for giving us some extra time to have that and then to hear my long-winded preaching. Amen? It's about relationship.